Tonight, the subject of authority. I was reading a work that has been recently sent to me this past week, and I appreciate the things that oppose in the sense that I look at them, I weigh them, and as a result, many times, I'm driven to explore the subject more, and in doing so, I'm blessed. So opposition doesn't bother me as much as some of you might think it does. Every Christian is going to have opposition. And the more he has, indicates the more he is witnessing and standing up for truth. Have you heard it said, we have authority today to bind. We bind Satan. We do this. We do that. We have authority. I want us to look at a verse of scripture. I've given it before. I've taught on it. I've given you the translation. I've called attention to the verb that is used twice, not only in this verse, Matthew 18:19, but also Matthew 18:18. And we'll be looking at these verses. And then the subject of authority has come up. What about authority? I don't have any authority. A lot of people who are ignorant of the scriptures could hear me speak and say he's I'll say it in a minute, I'll spit it out in a minute. A person who is just rather dictatorial, or he's manifesting his authority. Folks, they don't know anything about the scriptures to begin with. And they haven't heard me but a few times, but because I'm dogmatic, and when I believe something, I believe it, and I'll stand for it. And believing that it is a truth, I'll die for it. I want to read you a statement to begin with, and then we're going to look at the word, the Greek word, exousia. I've never made this kind of a study of it until last week. Exousia. That's the word for authority in the scriptures. I'll give you the ways in which it is used later. But here's a statement based on Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18. And here I'm giving a quotation. One person said, in quoting Matthew 18:18, let's read it before I give you this. Matthew 18:18. Truly, I am saying to you, whatever you shall bind on the earth. I'm reading the King James. Let me read the King James, and I'll give you the other later. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, one of the works that I just recently got, here's what the man said. This is his interpretation of this verse. He said, this verse is like a school principal looking back upon the decisions of those under him, that is the teachers under him. So it's like a school principal looking at all the decisions that the teachers make who are under him. Now let's take it a little further. Thus, decisions of the local assembly, see, that was his analogy. Thus, the decisions of the local assembly will be ratified in heaven. In other words, whatever decision a teacher makes, it is ratified by the principal of the school in his office. And so whatever decision a local assembly makes, that decision, having been made by the assembly, will be ratified in heaven. Folks, I had to laugh when I read it. I knew it was 180 degrees in the wrong direction, but I wanted to pursue it. So I said, well, I've never really gone into this subject as deep as I'd like to, so I'll just take the time to do it now. And so I make a study of ecstasy and all the words that are used for authority. Now, let me give you a translation of this verse. For I'm saying to you, whatever you shall bind on earth, in other words, whatever you declare to be lawful, shall have been already bound in heaven. That means it's declared unlawful. So whatever you bind on earth that is unlawful, it has already been declared in heaven. And notice, shall have been already bound or declared unlawful. And whatever you shall loose on earth that is declared to be lawful shall have already been loosed in heaven. Now, I don't ordinarily do this, but Tom, the Greek, that's what it says, isn't it? You know, I was reading after hearing W.A. Criswell last Friday, and my stomach was just, turned wrong side out. I went to my library. I knew I had a few books by him, and I pulled out one, and I wanted to see what he said on two or three things, so I happened to pull this one out because I was studying this subject. And folks, he gave the truth on it. Now, when a person gives the truth on important things like this, how in the world can he get on television and do the very opposite of what he has even in print? Would you have any respect for me if I went out tomorrow and acted out the very opposite of what I'm saying to you on the Lord's Day? Why, you ought to stop coming. You ought to either get rid of me or stop coming. Well, let's look at the word. The word is authority. The principal word in the New Testament for authority, and notice I said the principal word, is the noun exousia. It is used for authority in the New Testament. It means authority. It's used in the sense of being right, capability, ruling power, even liberty, government, jurisdiction. Now, it's used 103 times. Now, I found something that I didn't know before, so I'll share it with you tonight. And let me give that to begin with, and then we'll go into this and explain it. Used 103 times. The context, therefore, must be carefully observed in each instance where exousia is used. Now, here's what I found. Let me sum it for you. Just sum it up. The eternal Son of God, who became the Son of Man in the incarnation, has been given authority above all authorities. Now notice what I'm saying. He's been given authority above all authorities. I want you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 1, and verse 21. Ephesians 1:21. Let's look at this. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, if you go back up in the preceding verses, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. See what he's saying? And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So when you look at that verse closely, you come to this conclusion that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has been given authority above all authorities. Now let's look at these authorities. So thus, he is above all authority, all power, and that's the word for dunamis, all dominion, etc. That means he has authority over Satan. Now, Satan has authority, exousia. And I'll give you the references, a few. Remember now, it's used 103 times. Satan has authority of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Luke 22:53, and the passage we were using this morning that preceded the verse that we began in Ephesians chapter 6 concerning the armor of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. So Satan has authority. That doesn't mean that he has part of Christ's authority, but he has authority. Secondly, or it should be thirdly, beginning with Christ. Thirdly, the apostles had authority, exousia. For the first reference, when the Lord called the disciples, he gave them authority, Matthew 10:1, and exousia is used in that verse. It's used in reference to the apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 10:8, 2 Corinthians 13:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:9, just to name a few. But what I'm showing is the apostles had authority. Number four, civil government ordained of God has authority. Romans 13 and verse 1. Now watch this one. Those who receive Christ, John 1:12, are said to be given exousian. Now that's in the accusative case, and that's why you have the new exousian, the children of God. And then there is another reference in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 37. The only reference, now watch this, the only reference to the assembly of Jesus Christ is given in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, and there, folks, it has reference to the future, not now. Future authority. I didn't know that, but I know it now. See, there are a whole lot of things I don't know, and there are a whole lot of things I never will know because I'm dealing with an infant mind. And I rejoice every time I learn something that I didn't know. That's why there's no stopping place to the study of this book. Now, let me run back through these. Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, has been given authority above all authorities. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, did not have authority, but I said as the Son of Man. And you can begin in learning about that in John 5 and verse 27. He's given authority as the Son of Man. So he's been given authority over all authorities. And secondly, Satan has authority. Of course, it's certainly limited, and thank God for that. It's limited because Jesus Christ had been given authority over all authorities. And folks, we wouldn't have any hope if that were not true. And then the apostles had authority. I began with the disciples and then used Paul. Civil authority, ordained of God, has authority. Has authority under God to even execute capital punishment, if you please. To all of these doves, I believe in capital punishment. Because the Bible teaches it. But when it comes to the assembly, exousia is used in reference to the assembly of Jesus Christ only one time, and that has reference to the future. Let me prove it to you. Turn to Revelation 2 and verse 26. I want to give you these things before we make some practical applications of this. And I'll show you what all is involved in this subject. Revelation 2 verse 26. And the one overcoming and keeping my works until the end, I shall give to him authority over the nations. And folks, that is a promise of the assembly. When? In the time of the kingdom. And that's future. It is now. Now, you tell me that the church of Jesus Christ has authority. Now, I looked at some works in my library, and I was a little amused by some statements made by some of them. And I'll give you a little quotation by one. The keys of the kingdom, here's their meaning. They say, that's preaching the gospel and exercising assembly discipline. Catholics believe that they have the authority. Baptist churches in general believe that they have authority. Every cult says we have the authority. I'm here to tell you that the assembly of Jesus Christ does not have the authority that they claim to have. Whenever you read Matthew 16, the keys, it's the keys of the kingdom. I said keys of the kingdom. But when you get to Matthew 18 and 18, we don't have the word keys. The word keys is not used. It is true that the assembly has the right and the responsibility of not only preaching the gospel, but also exercising discipline. But the authority that they talk about is not scriptural. It is not biblical. So you see how important this subject is, hopefully. But let's go a little further. Now I gave you the noun exousia. The verb exousiazo is used only in these references, and it's used just a very few times, and so I'll give you the references. Luke 22:25, 1 Corinthians 6:12, and 1 Corinthians 7:4 twice. And it means power or authority over. Now there are two nouns, other nouns that are used, which do refer to authority or command or order. One is epitage, and it means order or authority. It is used, not many times, so I can give them to you. Romans 16:26, 1 Corinthians 7:6 and 25, 2 Corinthians 8:8, 1 Timothy 1:1, Titus 1:3 and 2:15. And the last noun is huper ak a, and it means position of authority. And it's also used in the sense of high-sounding words, and used only twice in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2:1 and 1 Timothy 2:2. Now we have one other verb, and the other verb is, it's a compound. Kara is the prefix, the prepositional prefix. Exousiazo, and it means to rule over, and it's used only in Matthew 20:25 and Mark 10 and verse 42. Now, what are we talking about tonight? Talking about authority. What is the chain of command? I want to give it in the sense of a chain of command. I want to really simplify it if I can. All of you, Glenn Cole, I was going to use him as an illustration because he knows something about the chain of command. I believe he would, don't you, Charles? But Charles, you know about it in a sense. You know about the chain of command. And those of you who have been supervisors or whatever, like Hank, Hank knows what the chain of command is. Tom, you know what the chain of command is. And others. Let's think about the chain of command for a moment. Because a person used this, but when he got through with it, that I read, that I was telling you about, I didn't like his conclusion. So the chain of command or the chain of authority. So we begin first of all with God, the sovereign God of the universe. Folks, He is in command. He's the sovereign God. But Jesus Christ is also God. And so when He became the Son of Man, God the Father gave to Him all authority, or authority over all authorities as the Son of Man. He was always in subjection to the Father. He always did the will of the Father. Whatever He received it from the Father. We go down the line of the chain of command from the Father to the Son. And then we have the apostles. Now the apostles did not receive a part of God's authority. Now I'll explain that in a moment. As some explain it today, which is heresy. It's literally heresy. And that's the reason we have so many false isms. So the apostles had the right, they had the authority, and we can't go through all these references and look minutely at each one in the light of its context to see if it's the word right would be the better word, or the word authority would be the better word, etc., etc. Administration or whatever. The context will bear that out. But I can present this subject tonight, I think, without doing all of that, and give you the main point that we need to consider. So then we come, the church hasn't been given authority. Now the elders, you say, well, they have authority. No, they don't have that kind of authority. Now let's look back at the chain of command for a moment. Let's take, for instance, a very simple illustration. Here's a person who is... For instance, the boss, we'll say, we'll use that expression, the boss or the president of a company or a corporation. He's in charge of everything. He has the authority over the whole corporation or company. He has men under him. Suppose he were to say, now I want you, Joe Blow, I want you, I'm going to be gone for a while. I want you to take over. I want you to be in charge. Does he mean when he says that Joe Blow, or whatever his name is, that he can go and talk to his men, he can make decisions without any regard whatsoever to what the person who is in command or in charge of the whole cooperation He can't make decisions on his own. He has to make his decisions on the basis of the rules and the regulations of the corporations instituted and those which are upheld by the president of the company. Folks, if that were not true, you'd have chaos. You'd have chaos. Now, when this man was using this verse of scripture, and this person is a highly regarded man among teachers today, he said this verse of scripture where it talks about binding and loosing, etc., etc., that means that the person in charge will validate whatever persons under him say are decisions that are made. All right, let's look at it now from God's point of view. God is the sovereign God. This word is His word. His word is settled in heaven even before the foundation of the earth. It can't be changed. When I stand before you, I do not have the authority to just tell you this is it. I can only give you what God has given to me, and I must give what He has already given and what is established in heaven before the foundation of the world. I can't make a decision down here that would be contrary to the standard of God, to the Word of God, and expect God to validate what I have said or what I have done just because I have done it and I'm under Him. So folks, you can't go around and say, well, you can believe this and you can believe that and I'll believe something else. And I've got a right to believe what I want to believe. Folks, that's not even the language of a Christian. That's not the language of a person who has been saved by the grace of God and is in subjection to God and His holy word. Now, I want us to go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew, if you will, please. Matthew 16 and verse 19. Let's begin with this one. And the reason I want to begin with this one, there are those who say that the keys of the kingdom constitute the privilege of the assembly to preach the gospel and also to exercise discipline. That's what they believe about the keys of the kingdom. Catholics believe they have the keys. Baptists come along, we have the keys. Methodists come along, we have the keys. Somebody else comes along, we have the keys. I'm here to tell you that no religious organization can make that claim based on the Holy Scriptures. So let's look at Matthew 16. First of all, Matthew 16, 19. And I want to give you the translation. I want to read it. First, let's begin with verse 18. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I'll read in the King James. The verse that I'm now going to read is the one we want to really look at. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, is what the King James says, but it's plural in the Greek. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I want to give the translation to it. I shall give to you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, plural, and whatever you shall bind on the earth, just as you have in Matthew 18:18, that is, declare unlawful, and that I'm putting that in brackets in my mind, shall have already been, shall have been already bound in the heavens, that is, declared unlawful. And whatever you shall loose on the earth, that is, you declare to be lawful, you shall have been already loosed in the heavens, that is, declared lawful. Now we have two verbs here, deo and luo. One means to bind, the other means to loose. And what kind of a verb do we have? We have what is called a periphrastic. And that means two or more words having the same syntactic function as an inflected word. It is a periphrastic, but this is the main thing. A future perfect passive participle. And the only way in the world you can translate it is to say like this. Shall have been, passive, already bound. And shall have been already loosed. So that means whatever is done down here, it is only carrying out what God has already settled in heaven even before the foundation of the world. So I can't stand before you and tell you what I think, and I can tell you what I think about some things that I'm not sure about. But to speak authoritatively, I can only give to you what God Himself has said. So the church doesn't have the authority that she claims to have. Now the next time you listen to the radio and hear one of these preachers, he talks about binding and loosing, I bind you, you write him off as a heretic, folks. And they're growing by leaps and bounds today. I bind you, I do this. They're lying through their teeth, and I have to call it what it is. No wonder they sell their libraries and say that God is revealing to them. Folks, we're living in perilous times, and we have to be on our toes every day of our lives. There has never been a time in human history when there have been as many isms, as many heresies, as there are in existence today. You say it was bad during the early church. It was, but they didn't have as many. Even 200 or 300 years ago, there were not as many as they are today. Our fathers didn't have to fight so many different isms. As Dr. R.G. Lee once said, that ought to be wasms. All the isms ought to be wasms. I thought that was a pretty good expression. So let's think about authority. I don't have any. God hasn't delegated. See, I'm using that word delegated. We hear about delegated authority. Be careful about that. Delegated authority. God is the sovereign God. He gave to His Son authority over all authorities. Satan and all of the rulers and dominions, if that were not so, we would be without hope. So the Lord is in control. He's in control of the Middle East situation. I just want to be in a position. That doesn't mean that we're not to take a stand against that which is evil, folks. You'll find the prophets during the days of the kings, when some of the good kings were doing atrocious things, and they would go to them and denounce what they were doing. And we're to do the same today. But we don't know the purpose in some of it. So, when you hear these fellows talk about praying, where two or three are gathered together agreeing, don't forget what I said this morning. What is the principle of agreement? When you hear people talk about, I have authority to cast out demons, I have authority to do this and do that, you better write him off. and you better write him off quickly. So there's a chain of command. It's very simple. The Father gave to the Son. Now notice the way I'm going to close this tonight. The Son has authority over all authorities. It is true that the apostles were given authority, but their authority was under the authority of Jesus Christ. But when it came to the church doesn't have the authority she thinks she has. The assembly doesn't have the authority she thinks she has. Now, the apostles and prophets were inspired to receive what God gave in giving the message. The message which we have, which we love, which we appreciate. And the more we know about it, the stronger we are. Did you observe this morning all the parts of the armor? Six of them. And there's nothing stated about prayer. It's the seventh. That means no one can pray until all the other things precede, folks. And I didn't have time to develop this, but you will find something very interesting. The aorist is used in the first four, and then in the next two, I'll let you decide. Because there is a difference. And the only offensive weapon that you and I have as Christians is the Word of God, referred to as the sword, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. The only offensive weapon. And it is something that is to be used constantly. Constantly. But where does prayer come in? It's the last. And no one can pray unless he has the first six. The first six. Oh, the beauty of Scripture. And how wonderful it is to observe the order. The order. That's why I stated this morning that prayer follows regeneration. Abba, Father. A continuous life of praying as long as we're living as Christians. And then coming to that conclusion, farewell, as the song says. Farewell, prayer. We won't need any intercessor. And folks, the time is coming. We won't need any intercessor. Be no praying in heaven. Be no praying in the presence of Jesus Christ. So farewell. So let us be sure and understand two things. Number one, prayer. And number two, authority. Now, my authority? What kind of authority do I have? I have been appointed. I'll use that terminology. I have been appointed to preach His Word. But the message which I have received it, not conceived it. I am not to preach what I conceive in my mind. I am to preach what I have received from the Lord. Let me demonstrate it for you. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just want to show you the simplicity of it. Beginning with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15. Now I am making known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received. All I am is a receptacle to receive what God has said. I don't conceive it. I receive what He has said. And having received it, I preach what I have received, not what I have conceived. So I'm just a receptacle of the truth of God. Now, I can speak authoritatively because of the author of the message, if it be the truth of God which I'm giving. I can't bind, I can't loose. The keys of the kingdom will be executed not by imperfect Christians. But that authority, according to Revelation, the only place where exousia is used. And we read it, Revelation 2:26. Where we have been given authority over the nations in the kingdom. We have a very humble position in this age. But oh, what a message we have. Let's stand.